Okay, we're on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, two thirds of the way down, a little more than two thirds of the way down, 12 lines up. It says V'Sava Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we're up to. Remember what we're involved in here. We're involved in Hilchas Shechita, and the Gemara has laid out for us three categories of fruit, which the Gemara will get back into later on today's daf. The Gemara says when you have Zeisim Va'anavim, olives and grapes, that is the Daraisa category of fruit. Squeezing them is Asur Midaraisa. Even using juice that oozes out of that on Shabbos, everybody also agrees is Asur. That is the most chamur category. The third category on the bottom is what's called Shar Peiros. Shar Peiros are fruit that are never squeezed. And what's that? I don't know, that might be honeydew. Anybody have honeydew juice? Let's say theoretically some type of juice, fruit that's never squeezed. So those you might even be able to squeeze directly, or at least if not, at least juice that squeezes out of them on Shabbos would be mutter to take part in. That's category three. And then you have category two, which is what the Gemara called tutum v'rimonim, the strawberry and pomegranate category. That category means fruit that are sometimes squeezed out, but they still don't have the daraisa halacha as zeisim anavim. So that middle category is where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say any juice that squeezes out of them, that oozes out of them on Shabbos, is usur to partake in, because you're worried that if you partake in it, you'll come to squeeze the fruit out yourself. Well, the Rabbi Yehuda is machalik. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends why you gather the fruit. If you gather the fruit to eat, so then we're not worried that you're going to come to squeeze this. So if you gather the fruit to eat in la'ochlin, so then if the juice squeezes out, then you're allowed to partake in it. But if you gather it la'mashkin, you're going to squeeze this, so then any juice that squeezes out is going to be usser. That's the chiluk between ochlin and mashkin. Okay, those are the three categories which we get back into. But the important point for the next line of the Gemara is that in the Braisa that we just quoted, when the Braisa talked about this middle category, the Braisa did not just make a chiluk within Shitas of Yehuda between ochlin and mashkin. It also, if you look back at the line that we're relating to now, the Gemara had said, if la'ochlin, right about 12 lines up from the bottom, according to Yehuda, if you gathered it to eat, hayotze mehen mutter. So whatever oozes out of them is mutter. L'mashkin ulistam hayotze mehen aser. If you gathered it for drinking purposes, or listam, or you weren't thinking about it so much, neutral, that's also aser. So the Braisa had put listam along with l'mashkin and not with la'ochlin. That's what the Braisa had done. So the Gemara is going to pick up on that line. Says the Gemara now two lines later, V'sava Rabbi Yehuda stam aser. Does Rabbi Yehuda say stam aser, that if you have neutral das, is going to be aser to squeeze out what oozes out of it by itself? Meaning that's called a mashke, and we're worried that you're going to be sochet. We know from the following that it's not true. And this question is about 15 lines long, so we're going to get back to this question in the middle of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So, first we have a little Hilchas Machshirin. V'hatnan, Baruch Hashem, we have the schus today to do a mission in Machshirin. We're going to do a mission in Kelayim. We're going to do a Tosefta in Taras. We'll do a lot of interesting material. V'hatnan, says the mission in Machshirin. And Machshirin is all about Machshirin. Hechshel Kabo Tumah. What's Machshirin? So the halacha is that, as we mentioned in the past, that any food item that is detached from the ground cannot become tameh unless it is first comes in contact with one of the seven mashkin. As we mentioned yesterday, the seven mashkin, Yad Shachatam, that's the mnemonic to remember. But it has to come in contact with what about before it's cut? So obviously, the halacha is not that it has to become wet before it's detached, because every fruit gets rained on before it's detached, so that doesn't count. It has to be after it's detached, it has to get it has to become in contact with one of the seven mashkin. Once it does, then it's called Hukshar L'Kabal Tumah. Then now it has the possibility of becoming Tameh. What's the svara for that? There are different svaras. The Ramban al Torah gives one svara. You have to open up the pores of this item in order to accept the Tumah. Does it only have the status of a fruit fully only when it gets this liquid on it? Either way, that's the halacha, that it has to come in contact. So that's what Machshirin is about. So this Mishnah is in Machshirin related to that. V'hatnan, says the Mishnah in Machshirin, Chalav Isha, and we'll see what this has to do with anything all the way at the end. Chalav Isha betami l'ratzo v'shalo l'ratzo. Chalav Isha, milk of a woman, which is expressed from her, is metami l'ratzo v'shalo l'ratzo. You have to know what we have to know another halacha of machshirin to understand this. There's a halacha of machshirin that when something, when this item that we're talking about comes in contact with the liquid, it has to only come in contact with the liquid l'ratzon of the owner, or l'ratzon of the one in charge, meaning that he wants it to become wet from this item. But if the person didn't want it to become wet from this liquid that fell on it, it's not hokshe l'kabel tuma. It's not a din of just getting wet from the liquid, it has to be l'ratzon based on a pasuk. That's the halacha regarding the item that's getting tameh. This Mishnah is telling us another chiddush. Tosfos points this out. Not focused on the l'ratzon aspect of the item becoming hukshal kabel tuma, getting the liquid, but what about the juice or the liquid being produced in the first place? That also might have to be produced l'ratzon. So here we're talking about milk being expressed from a woman, whether it came out l'ratzon, that she wanted the milk to come out of her, or shelo l'ratzon, it just oozed out by itself. That is the status. Does milk that oozed out from the woman by itself, does that have the status of chalav, of milk, mashke, in order to be machshir l'kabel tuma or not? That is the discussion in this Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, it's a machlokas. Chalav ha'isha b'tami l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon. The chalav of a woman is b'tami l'ratzon. Whether it came out and she's happy about it, v'shelo l'ratzon, or if she it was shelo l'ratzon, that she wasn't focusing on it, chalav behema in a matami el l'ratzon. Chalav behema is more limited. The milk of a goat or a cow, that's matami only the ratzon if it came out willingly. But if it somehow just, if it oozed out, there was the udder was full and milk just dripped out, and it wasn't the ratzon of the owner, so that is not matami. Okay, so it's a chilek, says the Tanakama, between milk of a woman is matami even shalol the ratzon, and milk of a behema, matami only the ratzon. Chol is one of the seven mashkim, yes. So the mashkim again are yayin, dvash, shemen, chalav, tal, dew, and dam and mayim. Those are the seven mashkim. Yad, shachat, dam. Those are the seven. That's the mnemonic to remember the seven liquids. Orange juice is not one of them. So says the that's the Tanakh Mishita, that chalav ish is batami always, even shalol l'ratzon, and chalav behema only l'ratzon. Amar Rabbi Kiva, and this is all in the Mishnah up until the fifth line of the next Amud. This is all the Mishnah there in Machshirin. Amar Rabbi Akiva, kavachomer. Rabbi Kiva says no, it should be a kavachomer that chalav behema should be batami even if it's shalol l'ratzon. A kavachomer from chalav isha. Uma chalav ha'isha she'ena miyuchad el tanim, if chalav ha'isha, which is only miyuchad for one small part of the population, meaning babies, right? Adults don't eat, don't drink. Chalav isha mitami l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon. If chalav isha, which is only mashke for a little population, and that's mitame, even if it comes out shelo l'ratzon against the will of the mother of the woman. Chalav habehema shemiyuchad be'latan be'gdonim, but milk that we all drink, that's for everybody. So eno didshi tami ben l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon. Shouldn't that become mashke in an easier fashion? In a more common fashion, therefore, even shalol l'ratzon, says Rabbi Akiva, chalav behema should become tami. So that's the machlokas between the Rabbanan and the Chachamim. The Rabbanan say chalav isha is matami b'l'ratzon b'shalol l'ratzon, and chalav behema only l'ratzon. Rabbi Akiva says no, it's a kalvachomer. So how did the Rabbanan answer that kalvachomer? Remember, a kalvachomer is based on logic. It's one of the yigam midos that you could darshan yourself. Adam don kalvachomer me'atzmo. Therefore, there can be machlokasim about it. So amr lower, the Rabbanan say no. What do you mean the kavachomer? That just because chalav isha is less common, so you're going to say kavachomer to chalav behema? No, you can't compare them. Im tamei chalav isha shelo l'ratzon. If you say by chalav isha, which is even mitami shelo l'ratzon, shedama gafasa tamei. That's only because we'll interpret this line in one way now, and then we'll explain it again. That's only because a woman's blood from a wound that she gets is tamei. So you see this woman, by a woman, you see things become halachically a mashke, a liquid, easierly. That's a word. More easy. Right? So says the Rabbanan, don't say a kalvachomer, chalav isha, that surely chalav behema. No. I'll give you an example of chalav isha, where there's something that becomes a mashke, and chalav behema doesn't become a mashke. By chalav isha, her dam from a wound is tamei, which means machshir l'kabel tuma. It is called a mashke. This is how Rashi interprets the Gemara. It is called a mashke in order to make somebody something, give it the potential to be tamei. Yit v'chalav behema shelo l'ratzon, shedama gafasa tahar, while the dam of a wound of an animal, that's tahar. So you see, and this is one way to read this line of the Gemara, that the Chachamim were saying to Rabbi Akiva, don't say there's a Kal V'chomer from Chalav Isha to Chalav Behema, because I'll give you an example where there's something about an Isha that becomes a Mashke, halachically, and it's Mashke L'Kabal Toma, while something of an animal does not. And that's Dam, Dam of a wound. Dam of a wound of an Isha is Mashke L'Kabal Toma, and Dam of a Behema, a wound, is not. So don't make the Kal V'chomer. So it could very well be that the Chalav of an Isha, even Shalola Ratzon, is Machshir, even though the Chol of a Behemah Shalola Ratzon is not Machshir. That is how the Rash Mishans, who is one of the Rishonim, quoted in the Rashba, reads the Gemara.
The Dam of a woman is in the Tama, even
in Shalola Ratzon? The Dam of a woman is Tama, even Shalola Ratzon, correct. That's Dama Gafasa. So now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has a different way of reading the Gemara. It's not just, hey, a woman has a chumrah, so therefore she has another chumrah. Rashi here relates to a concept that is quoted in Maseches Nida. If you look on the first skinny line of Rashi on top, those of you who never heard of this concept, it's going to be a new one. V'chalav kidam magafaso. No, it's not just dam, so you have to talk about a woman, it's otu chalav. No, there's a connection between blood and milk. Dam and chalav is an inherent connection. Shadam ne'echar v'nasa chalav. It's a line in the Gemara that dam, when a woman nurses, why does she not become an eater? Why does she not get her period when she's nursing? Because somehow, bismana Gemara, whether this is based on scientific evidence, whether it's some other reason, we're not interested in how this works medically right now, because separate shear. But dam ne'echar v'nasa chalav, somehow the blood turns into the milk. And therefore, there's a connection, there's an inherent connection between the dam and the chalav in a woman. So that's the line of the Gemara. Just like by a woman, what do Chacham say back to Rabbi Akiva? Don't make a Kal V'chomer from Dam Isha to Dam Behema, because by Isha, we have a precedent where the Dam Magafas, the Dam of her wound is Tameh, which means, what's the Dam of a wound? That's coming out Shalol Ratzon. That's exactly like Chalav Shalol Ratzon, because there's an inherent connection between Dam and Chalav. Dam Nechar V'nasa Chalav, the Gemara says, according to Machlokas there, whether it's true or not. But at least according to one opinion, Dam Nechar V'nasa Chalav, the Dam and the Chalav have this inherent connection. That's the point of the Gemara. Just like a woman where her dam is with Shalol Ratzon, that's Gufa Chalav Shalol Ratzon. Masha'ekin by an animal, Dam Gafasa is tar, so it can't be compared. So that's a Machlokas, how to view this line of the Gemara. Is it just Stam, you have a Chumra by an Isha? Or is it, no, there's an inherent connection between Dam and Chalav. Interesting point on this Gemara. Tosvos, what is the source? Let's start with this. What is the source that the chalav, milk, like some guys before, that milk is one of the seven liquids? What's the source of that? So if you look at Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud, four lines from the bottom, chalav kari mashke, shenemar, vatiftach is known ha chalav vatashkehu. Right? Shoftim dalad. Remember the story? Right, it's coming up to Rosh Hashanah. Story of Sisera and Yael. And Sisera, Yael invited him into the tent, and she gave him warm milk. Right, that's this pasuk. And she gave him warm milk, and she eventually got him to sleep and put a peg through his head. And then Sisera cried. And that's why the most of the midrashim say that because she cried 100 cries, that's why we blow 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. So it's in Yonah Diyoma in less than Baltokeus here, Baruch Hashem. And that's the pasuk that Rashi quotes based on that pasuk. Ask Tosvos, if you say that chalav is connected to dam nechav nasa chalav, why do you need a separate pasuk by chalav? Dam is tame. We know dam from another pasuk is one of the seven mashkim. And if chalav is just an extension of dam, so you don't need a separate pasuk by chalav. So why does Rashi quote a separate pasuk? That's Tosfos' question on the bottom, right? Why dam nechav nasa chalav? So why does he quote a separate pasuk? So beautiful, says the Ran to answer for Rashi. He doesn't really say this as the answer, but he says, the Ran says, this is the Shakla Vatari of the Gemara. It's an unusual Ran. The Ran doesn't usually, there's a few Rans on Masechet Shabbos. There's the Ran in the back, that's the real Ran. There's something that was the Chiddushi Aran for 400 years, which we know now is not the Chiddushi Aran, so it's called the Shita Aran. And then there's a new Chiddushi Aran that was put out, that's in the new Chiddushi Arans, which is on Masechet Shabbos, he quotes it. He says, nearly the Hachi Pirush Shakla Vataria. Says the Ran, this is the Shakla Vataria. Yes, in step, what happens here? There was a Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva asked the Kasha, and the Chachamim answered. So says the Ran, originally Rabbi Akiva didn't think that the Rabbanan Shita was based on Dam Nechav and Asa Chalav, that there was an inherent connection between Dam and Chalav. That's why he asked the Kasha. That's why he said the Shakla Vataria from Isha, Chalav Isha to Chalav Behema. That's why Rashi at stage one of the Gemara, down here, quotes the Pasuk by Chalav. Because within the mentality of how Rabbi Akiva understood the Chachamim Shita, Chalav was a separate entity, not like Dama. That's why he quotes a separate Pasuk. Masha'eke, that's Gufa, what the Rabbanan answer, it's not based on Chalav being a separate entity, it's based on Dam Nechav and Asa Chalav, and there you don't need a Makar anymore. There you would say, in a Chinami, you don't need to serve a Makar for Chalav. But only earlier in the Gemara does Rashi quote this, beautifully, because only there was where Rabbi Kiva understood the Shitas Chachamim as being based on a separate Dam and Chalav, but Dam Nechav and Asa Chalav, that's what the Rabbanan answer at that point in a Chinami, maybe you would say, it's not based on, you don't need that Makar. Yeah. Are other bodily fluids. The Gemara only says it by dam, because of this idea of when the woman starts nursing, she has less dam in her body.
Well, then maybe that's why you need a
pasuk
for chalav, to exclude others.
Maybe, that's, I mean, but they say, but if you have this direct connection, the Gemara has this as a svara. I mean, it's based, I think it's merumas in certain psukim. I think it's daftas or yoda or something in Nida, but I think the Gemara has it as a svara even, not based on a pasuk. Anyway, let's get back into it. Those of you who were in the middle of a question of the Gemara, which we're going to get to the question in a couple of lines. But the Mishnah, remember, had said, machlokas tachamim Rabbi Akiva, whether milk that comes out of a woman against her will, shalola ratzon, whether that's called halachically liquid in order to be one of the seven mashkin. The Chachamim say yes, even if it's shalola ratzon, and Rabbi Kiva says no, only if it's laratzon. And the Chachamim have just answered defending their opinion. So now Rabbi Kiva says back to them, Amar Lahan, this is a continuation of the Mishnah, machmer ani b'chalav mi badam. No, I'm more machmer by chalav than by dam. Even though I know that dam that comes out of an animal which is considered shalola ratzon, that's not going to be considered a liquid in order to be machmer l'kabal tumah, but chalav isha is what chalav behema is. Shachholiv, because you see, shachholiv l'refua tameh, v'hamekes l'refua tar. Because you see, milk becomes a mashke more than dam becomes a mashke. Because let's say, if you express milk from an animal which is in pain, l'refua, to help its health, tameh, that milk is considered chalav in order to be machshir l'kabal tumah. But if you're mekes l'refua, if you bloodlet the animal in order to help him out, for refua tar. So you see, chalav becomes mashke in an easier fashion than dam. So that's Rabbi Kiva says back to the Chachamim. Final line of the Mishnah, Amru Lo Chachamim, say, what are you talking about? Sali Zeza Vanavim Yochichu. What do you mean? The baskets of olives and grapes will prove me. Shahamashke na Yosemian Larasan to Mansha Larasan to Horim. In other words, says the Chachamim back, what are you proving me from the Mekiz and the Lurifua and the Chalav Rifua? That's all in the Ratzon context. There's a big difference between Laratzon and Shalola Ratzon. And we're talking about Shalola Ratzon. And look here. Let's say you have fruit in a basket and the juice oozes out. Obviously, there's a difference between Laratzon and Shalola Ratzon. So don't bring me rayas from Cholev, Lerefua, or Mekiz Lerefua. We're trying to say that it's even Shalola Ratzon. And that's our issue. End of Mishnah. What we're going to be medayik for our context is based on the last line, where the Chacham had said back to Rabbi Akiva, mashkin that flow out of olives and grapes in the basket, that will prove, because if they came out l'ratzon, you were happy about their coming out, then it has the status of mashke, shalom l'ratzon tahorim. Okay, so now let's get back to what the question was going to be. Remember way back when, 10 minutes ago, we had the Braisa Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Shita was that on Shabbos, if you have fruit sitting in a basket, and juice oozes out of the fruit by itself, are you allowed to partake of that juice? It depends why you gathered those fruit. If you gather those fruit to eat, so then you're allowed to partake. If you gather those fruit to squeeze eventually, you're not allowed to partake. What about stam? You gather them without thinking anything, neutral. So the Bryce had said that's also considered like Lamashkin and his Usser. Fine. So that's what we're going to ask on right now. So what about the last line of this Mishnah Machshir? In my love, don't we interpret this last line when we said if the juice oozed out l'ratzon, it's tamish l'ratzon estahar. My love, l'ratzon denichale. L'ratzon means you're happy with the fact that it oozed out. Meaning, you were planning on, and the word is saying, and that means you were planning on squeezing it out, shalol l'ratzon bestama. And shalol l'ratzon means stam. So what does it say here in the Mishnah? If it oozed out shalol l'ratzon, which means stam, then it's tar. It doesn't have the status of mashke. So how could Rabbi Yehuda earlier say stama is aser? Earlier, Brisa on Amud Beis over here said that Rabbi Yehuda said that if you gathered it stam, it's aser because you worry you're going to come squeeze it out. But this Mishnah Machshirin with Medayig that if it's stam, if you gathered it stam, then it's no problem. It's not mashke l'kabal tumah. We are jumping to say that something has the status of mashke is something that you would squeeze out. The Gemara is having that connection because here we're talking about what's halachically mashke, and they were talking about Is there a chash that you're going to squeeze it out? But we are comparing those two ideas. And the Gemara says, even to strengthen the question, if this Mishnah in Machshirin is talking about the highest level category, olives and grapes, and even if that squeezes out Shalol Ratzon, which we're interpreting as Stam, if that's Mutter, so Rabbi Yehuda earlier was talking about Tutim Rimonim, category 2 fruit, so surely that should be Mutter. That's the kash. So the Gemara has two answers, and about four lines from now, we're going to get back into regular Hilchas Chita. So those of you who came in a few minutes late, you got to do this later, and then you'll understand it in 2 minutes. Lo, the Gemara said no. L'ratzon b'stama. L'ratzon, the Mishnah in Machshirin, we didn't you could interpret it differently. L'ratzon means stama. L'ratzon means you're happy about it, so therefore the Mishnah and the Braisa parallel each other. Just like earlier, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda was, if you gathered it stomach, it's going to be usser. So to here, when it says L'ratzon, it's stomach, and that's tame, that means it is machshir l'kabel toma. Shalol L'ratzon in the Mishnah doesn't mean stam, it means to go l'daita to amar lo nichalei, where you said beferish, I'm not happy with this. It's mamish shalol L'ratzon. That's where it wouldn't attain the status of mashke to be machshir l'kabel tumah. V'ibayisema, or a second answer. Shiny sali zeisim anavim. Don't bring me rayas from that case, mishnah and machshirin. Kibun de li'ibud kaimi me'ikaraf kuri mafker lahu. Because it's in a basket. So when it oozes out, it goes onto the floor. So there for sure, that's stoma. That's shalol ratzon. That's worse because you're losing it right away. That's not similar to the case where you have fruit in a bowl on your table. So fruit that juice that oozes out from there. There's more of a reason to aser than here. Okay, so we just brought a kasha and gave two terutzim for a Mishnah Machshirin on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa on Kufem Gimel on the base. Okay, period. So now we have a new part of the sugya, three lines from the bottom. Ashkechan. Yeah. We don't assume that Rabbi Yehuda is like a Bekiva. We don't assume that he does. Says the Gemara now, three lines from the bottom. So remember, we started off the beginning of the shir, three categories of fruit. Zeisim Ba'anavim, the Daraisa category. You squeeze those on Shabbos, it's Asumi Daraisa. Stuff that oozes out on Shabbos, Usser, to use. Third category, Shar Peros. It's fruit that's never squeezed, so that you might even be allowed to squeeze directly. And stuff that oozes out of them for sure is Mutter also. Middle category, Tutim Vrimonim, what's called pomegranates and strawberries, meaning anything that's generally sometimes squeezed, sometimes not squeezed, that's Asumi Darabanan to squeeze. And if stuff oozes out of them, that's a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. So it says the Gemara, Ashkan Rabbi Yehuda, Demodi Yolor Banam, Bezim Anavim. So you proved to me on the previous Amud that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in category 1. But Rabbanan, Demodi Yolor Yehuda, Bishar Peres, Binolam. But you didn't prove to me category 3. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds category 3. But how do you know the Rabbanan also hold category 3? That the third category is even, you know, it's Mutter. Minolan, how do you know that? The Tanya the Brisa says, Sochtin, Bepagon, Ubaprishin, Ubuzur, Denavalobrimonim. The Braisa says you're even allowed to squeeze directly these fruit and prishin. Prishin is what the talks about in Sukkah, the difference between a parish and an esrog. It's like a quince, a uzradin, some other fruit. Avalob rimonim. But you can squeeze pomegranates. V'shal beis menashim bar menachem, how you sochtim rimonim. But this family of beis menashim bar menachem used to squeeze rimonim on weekday. Therefore, that shows that it is at least in category 2, right? Tutim rimonim, that's why you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, so that's the Raya. This is the Raya, this is the sheet of the Chachamim. It's the Raya that by category 3 fruit, you're allowed to even squeeze them out directly. Not just use what oozes out of them. So the Gemara says, one second, am I the Rabbanan? He didn't Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know that's the Rabbanan? Maybe that's Rabbi Yehuda, who's more makel in general. And the Chachamim would argue on that. The Gemara says, no, but Tevi, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So yeah, say it's Rabbi Yehuda. There's a problem with that. Eimer the Shamas of Rabbi Yehuda. When was Rabbi Yehuda Mako Yatsu Me'atzman? That's only if juice oozes out by itself. That's what we find in Rabbi Yehuda's Mako. Sochtin lechachilu b'shamisle. Do we ever say that he allows squeezing out fruit mamish directly? And that's what this Mishnah, this Brice had said. Elamayis lechalo b'Eimer. So what are you going to say? Why is it mutter? Kiva de lav b'nei schita ninu afil lechachila. That if you identify fruit as lav b'nei schita, they're never squeezed out. So then you're going to allow it even lechachila because that's not called dash. Dash means when you're taking out mashke from an ochel, as we're going to see later on the Amud. But if something is never squeezed out, you might say it never has the status of mashke. So therefore, even that's why Rabbi Yehuda would allow it lechatchila. If that's true, so then afilu tamer rabbanon. Then you could even say that's the sheet of the rabbanon. Kibud labanei schita ninu afilu lechatchila shma mina rabbanon hi shma mina. So therefore, once you're telling me this extra svara, It's not just stam. What's the machlokas of the chachamim? Whether you're gozer, fruit oozes out, whether you're going to come squeeze it. But once you come on to a different svara of these fruit are totally never squeezed, and therefore even if you squeeze it out, it doesn't have the status of mashke, then that svara could apply. Bein l'rabbanan, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda. There's no reason to say that Rabbi Yehuda says that and not the Rabbanan. Period. Okay, let's continue. Shelbeis now going to relate to, a little later on, to a couple of ideas that we've had earlier in the Masechta. Shelbeis Menashia, Bar Menachma Yisof Nemerimonim, says Bryce on top had said that this family used to squeeze pomegranates. And because this family used to squeeze pomegranates on the weekday, that's why on Shabbos it's going to be also to squeeze them, because you see that they are generally squeezed. Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha k'shelbeis Menashia Bar Menachem. Rav Nachman said this statement, that the Halacha is like Beis Menashia Bar Menachem. So Amar Le Rabba, Rabba asked Rav Nachman, I'm the Rav Nachman. Menashe ben Menachem Tanahu? What do you mean the halacha is like Menashe ben Menachem? That's Stama family. Stama family. They used to squeeze pomegranates. The halacha is like this family? Are they a Tana? And if you want to say what Rav Nachman really meant was halacha ki haitana desav halacha shem Menashe ben Menachem. No. It means like the halacha is like the author of that brisa that allowed did not allow squeezing pomegranates because you see from this family that it's common to squeeze pomegranates. That's what he meant. Not like the halacha is like them, but halacha is like the Tana who held like them. And we should the sabra kamenashe bar menachem halacha kamoso. Menashe bar menachem havi ruba da'alma. What, because this one family did it, we're going to pass him like them? Are they the majority of the world? So there's one family and you hope it squeezed pomegranates. So why does that have to have any reflection on the halacha? Why should that be it's not a majority. They're Ruba the Alma. So by the way, what's the halacha? Just let's take a 30-second break. If in one place in the world they squeeze fruits, so are you allowed to squeeze those fruit in another place? Does that make it change categories? Like let's say in most of the world they never squeeze cantaloupes. And it's in one province in Africa they squeeze cantaloupes. So does that make it into category 2, where it's sometimes squeezed? Or is that in category 3, where it's never squeezed? So that's a discussion in the postgame. The Rama says in Shin Chaf Aleph, he's Mekel. In a place where they know it to squeeze certain fruits, dino ketut of rimonim. Then it gets into category 2. The Mishnah Berurah points out that it's mashma that only in that place. But outside that place, it would be mutter. And that is what the Rabbah paskins. The Magen Avrami quotes is machmir. He says, no, if you know for sure that they squeeze it in any place, like we know today, celery juice they make, and carrot juice, and all these juices, then they have to treat it as to the rimonim, as the more machmer chita, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes to the Magen Avraham. And then Lamaskani says, maybe you should be machmer for sure in that place, but outside, maybe yeshla hachmer, but maker din we probably will be makel. If they export it, that's different, right? You might say they don't squeeze any oranges in a certain place, but if they get orange juice there, so then that's different. But this song in a place where there was no export. But that's just in terms of Lachal Maisa. If we know there's a substantial number of people that do it, so then it might be Lachal Chila Lahachmir like that Magad Avram. But anyway, back to the Gemara. So where it says, the Lach is like Menashe ben Menachem. Is he a rove of the world? We have to care about that one family? So the Gemara answers in yes. We have to care about that one family. Titznan, as the Mishnah says in Kilayim. So we did a Mishnah in Taurus today, now we're doing a Mishnah in Zroim. The Mishnah says in Kilayim, Hamakayim Kotzim Bekerem. We mentioned that there are various kinds of Kilayim. There's Kilayim in clothes, and that's Shatnez. There's Kilayim in animals, that's two kinds of Kilayim in animals, breeding them together or working them together. There's Kilayim in plants. There's Kilay Zroim, two different, you have zera, you have a vegetable, you have a plant, and you have grain, whatever the mixture is, the Hilchos Kilayim goes through it. And then there's Kilay HaKerem, which was one of the more chomer Kilayims, mixing a vine with a vegetable, right? If you plant those in certain proximity of each other, and they're irbuvia, they're mixed up, that's Kilay HaKerem. So the question is, says the Mishnah, Mekayim Kotzim HaKerem, let's say you have some thorns next to your vineyard. Are those thorns, do they have the status of a plant, or are they just stuff that grows? They have the status of a plant in that they would become usser. Rabbi Elazar Omar Kidesh. Rabbi says Kidesh, because that's the word that the Torah uses in last week's parsha, that it becomes Kodesh and you have to burn it, meaning thorns do have the status of Yerek. The Chum in Makadesh, no. The Chum say no. The only thing that becomes Kadosh, that becomes usser, is El Defer Shakamob Makayman. Only by something that you are Makayin, that you want to plant, but like thorns that just grow, that you say does not create Kilayak Harem. The Amar Rabbi Hanina, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, what is the reason of Rabbi Eliezer that he says thorns do create Kilayak Harem? Shkin Barvia, Makayman Kotzik Kesaldas Legamalayim. Because in Arabia, they grow thorns specifically because they have a lot of camels there and they need stuff to feed the camels. The camels like the thorns. And therefore, there, they're very happy with their thorns. So what do you see from this Mishnah? That if one family, if one people do something, it has an impact. Just because in Arabia, they grow thorns to feed their camels, so that has an impact. So to your base of Asia, they squeeze pomegranates, so it has an impact. Says the Gemara, how could you compare the two cases? Midi Arya, how can you compare them? The Arvia Asra, Arabia is a place. It's a significant country. Hacha, but that doesn't call out them here. It's one family. One family, based on Asher, they squeeze pomegranates. They're gonna affect the world? No, they can't affect the world. If it's a whole place, so then that could have an effect. So that this Mishnah can't be the basis for what Rav Nachman said before, that the halacha is like based on Asher. So we're back to the kasha of, is based on Asher Ruba Alma? Why should it have an impact? So we're gonna answer that question in a second. But before that, let's remember something that we learned in the Tzadik Beis earlier in the Masechta. On the Tzadik Beis, you can't forget this, talks about people who carry things on their head. Right, so there's a people called Anshei Hutzal. The Anshei Hutzal, the Gemara had said, used to carry things on their head. And Lamaskana, the Gemara there said that even if you're one of the Anshei Hutzal, still you're going to be putter for Hutzal on Shabbos, because nobody carries things on their head. You see, even the Anshei Hutzal are going to be putter. The Gemara first had said, maybe we should be Chayiv. The Gemara asked the same question, is Anshei Hutzal Ruba Da Alma? So the Gemara answered on the top of Sadak Beis Mabeis that Anshei Hutzal are not Ruba Da Alma, and therefore, Butla Daita Mesa Kal Adam. Asked Tosfos over there on Sadak Beis Mabeis from our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says if you have a whole place doing something, so that's Chashuv. And if it's chashuv, so then that impacts the halacha for everybody else. So what does Agamara say? Because in Arabia, because in Arvia, they grow these thorns, therefore that determines that thorns have the status of a yarek and a kriyakilei akerim. So what about over there, the Anshei Hutzal? All the people in Hutzal carry it on their heads. So if we carry it on our head, it should be chayiv. Why? They should determine, asked Tosfos. So Tosfos gives an important yisod. Tosfos says, no. When do you say Batla Daito? We discussed this last year on a Tuesday night shiur. When do you say Batla Daito? When do you not say Batla Daito? Tosfos says you need two requirements in order not to say Batla Daito Eisa Kol Adam. And that is, A, it has to be an entire place that does something, not just one family. B, it has to be something that if we were under the same conditions, if we were in that situation, the rest of the world would act the same way. So says Tosfos, in Arabia, if we had 1 million camels to feed, we would also grow thorns. So that's why that's a whole place, and it's something that we would do if we were there. But if we were in Hutzal, we still wouldn't carry things on our head. We would still carry things with our hands. We don't do heads. That's not us. We wouldn't be able to do it, even if we try. So that's why it says Tosfos, that even if you have, you have the place there, but because we wouldn't do it if we would be there, so then it doesn't count. You still say Baladai to Kal Adam. So that's a chiluk between Anshei Hutzal and this case here. Okay, there's more, but let's try to continue first. Then we'll come back again if there's time. So back to the Gemara, second to last skinny line. Says the Gemara, we're at a question now. We're at a problem. Why did we say the halacha is like the Tanu always like Beis Menashe? They're just one family. Who cares that they squeeze pomegranates? So Ella Hainatama Kid Rav Chizda. So maybe the reason is like Rav Chizda. Dam Rav Chizda says, Trod the Chisachta Menasim Mikvah. Let's say you squeezed out beets and poured the juice into a mikvah. We know a mikvah has to have a certain shear, 40 sa'ah. But there's a halacha, postless, a mikvah b'shini ma'ar. There's a halacha that liquids could passel a mikvah if it changes the appearance of the mikvah, if it gives it a tint, if it gives it a certain color. So Rav Chizda said, if you squeezed out these beets and you put it into a mikvah, it passes b'shini ma'ara. You need, by water, if you have pasul water, which is called mayim she'uvin, so that you need a certain amount of a shear in order to passel the mikvah. The Gemara talks, the Rashi quotes, shloshes lugin, three lugin. But by other liquids, if, as long as it changes the color of the mikvah, then it would already passel. So it says, Rav Chizda, halabari schitin, and what do you mean? Beet juice doesn't have the status of a mashke. Halabari schita, you know, nobody squeezes beets. I guess borscht wasn't big in those days. Elamai is l'chol ameimar. I don't know how big it is today. I guess in certain circles. Elamai is l'chol ameimar. Kima dach shevinu havi lehu mashke. Ah, says Rav Chizda, what do you say? Ah, about the beet juice. Since you squeezed it, you were machshevit as a liquid, and therefore it can affect the mikvah. So hachanami, so to here. Kima dach shevinu, because these base menashe people were machshevit, havi lehu mashke. So it's still a mashke. Rashi here points out, we're not saying that just because they did it, therefore, it affects us, because that was the original question. Why should they have an effect? So Rashi says this is what the point is. You see from here that if somebody squeezes something out for the juice, it has significance. So, it's really two steps here. Step one is, we know there is a place that squeezed it out, and therefore it has significance. So step two then is, we're going to aser midrabanan, in everywhere, even if you squeeze it out, lamatik, let's say sometimes you squeeze out some juice from a fruit, in order, because the fruit is a little too tart, it's too much juice. So you squeeze it out in order to make it a little more nicer for you to eat. Lamatik, what Rashi calls, to sweeten it. So let's say you squeeze it out, so really that should be mutter, because you're not squeezing it out for the juice. So says Rashi, that's what we're saying here. The issue is an issur d'rabbanan, whether it goes there in the whole world when you squeeze it out for lamatek in order to have a better fruit, or it goes to that because you know in certain places they squeeze it out even for the juice. That is the issue here. That's how to understand the line of Rav Chisda. Because in one place they do it for the juice, so we're going to be goes there in other places, midrabbanan, not d'araisa, midrabbanan, because we're worried that you might do it for the juice one day also. Well, sorry? There's no longer a rule. Well, this at least, well, you could say, first of all, you know, you have to know when this is applied. You're right. So how does this, you have to know when the Rabbanan are going to have this Issur Rabbanan kick in. Here, there's a real reason for it, because you're doing the same act of schita. The question is, what purpose are you doing it for? So because you see that there are people that do it for such a purpose, so that shows that the juice is good. Some people drink it. So therefore, even if you're doing it for a different purpose, when he goes to meet the Rabbanan. Says Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar, no. Rav Papa says, don't bring me a rye from that mikveh case. There's a much different reason why in that mikveh case. Not because you were mashavid, it becomes a mashka. No. Different halach and hilchos mikvos. Mishum davi davar she'enos a mikvah lachadchila. No, because that's something, beet juice is something that you can't make a mikvah from lachadchila. The chol davar she'enos a mikvah mana lachadchila, posals the mikvah b'shini mara. And anything that you can't make a mikvah from originally, posals the mikvah if it changes the appearance. Nothing to do with whether it's called a mashke or not called a mashke. No. If you can't, the halach is, if you can't use it as a mashke, if you can't use it to make a mikvah in the first place, so therefore, you can't, it posals the mikvah by changing its appearance. Okay, so that's why we reject that svara, but the Gemara does not try to give another answer to what the pshat is of Rav Nachman, but these are the two suggestions. Both of them seem to have problems. Right, the interesting Rashi here, Rashi just says, you can only use something that you can make a mikvah from originally. What's something that you can make a mikvah from originally? So Rashi quotes the last skinny line of Rashi, Mayim Sheleg Barad. Big discussion in the postgame about snow. Could you use snow for a mikvah when it still is snow? There's discussion of Chabad Ramon in Hilchos Mikvos. Snow, what about, like in certain places out west, I've heard that in Phoenix and other places, maybe there's somebody in Phoenix that's listening, that how do you get, let's say it doesn't rain for months, how do you get the Mikvah water there? So what I've heard is that they truck in icebergs, tremendous pieces of ice, which is not considered mayim yet, and they let it melt in the mikvah. It is not considered shuvin, that it was in a kli because it was ice at the time that they brought it in, and then they. But again, that's a big discussion in the postgame whether you could use sheleg when it's sheleg after it dry, after it melts. Big discussion, but this Rashi is important because Rashi here quotes sheleg is one of the things that you can make a mikvah from originally. Okay, fifth skinny wide line. It's not Hassam, another Mishnah Mikvos. Well, we're going to relate the same concept that Rav Papa just said. That's what we're bringing this here. Novel Socha Yaino Chometz Umochel Vishinim Arav Paso. Let's say something fell into a mikvah. Wine or vinegar or mochel. Mochel, we'll see, is some type of liquid that comes out of olives, but not oil. Stuff that comes out before the oil. Mochel, Vishinim Arav, and any of these liquids fall in, pasol, that's going to pasol the mikvah. Matan de Mochel Mashkehu. So, who is the Tana that says, Mochel is a mashke, because you see mochel pasels, so don't we assume that reflects that mochel is a halachic liquid, just like yayin and chometz. So therefore, isn't that a, who says that mochel is a mashke? Ha'ara, here we're not talking about a mashke like the seven mashkim, like we were talking about before. Right? Vinegar is not one of them. But here we're just talking about a mashke, like that a liquid, like what we would call a liquid. Who says mochel is considered a mashke? Omer, Abaye, Rabbi Yaakov, he is Rabbi Yaakov, the Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, that's such a common Tana's name, right? We notice that there's no Rabbi Avraham. There's no Rabbeinu Avraham, no Tana Rabbeinu Avraham, or Rabbi Yitzchak, there is. But here's Rabbi Yaakov, there is a Rabbi Yaakov. The Tanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Mochel Harihu Kamashke. There's a machlok, just as background to this machlokas, there's Rashi explains here that when you start the processing of olives, there are really four stages. There are three stages where what's called mochel comes out. Just some other type of oil water comes out, but that's, you're not interested in that. So the first, when you put the olives into the press, into the bottle or the barrel originally, stuff comes out because they're the fact that they're next to each other, that causes one level of olive stuff to come out. A couple days later, when they start getting really mushed together, so then another stage of mochel comes out. And finally, when they take it out and put it on the press, right before the oil comes out, a third level of type of mochel comes out. Three types of mochel of oil, water stuff comes out before the actual oil. So we're going to see that really stage one and stage three, there's no machlokas about that mochel. The machlokas is going to be about stage two. That's what we're going to see here. So Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says mochel hariyuk hamashke. Rabbi Yaakov is of the opinion that mochel is like a mashke. The mochel, the stuff that comes out, is like a mashke, and that's as we're going to see talking about stage three and even two. Umata amar mochel is a bitzchilat tahar. What about the first stage? Why does Rabbi Yaakov go as extreme to say even stage one of the mochel coming out is going to be a mashke? No, fishin erosu b'kiyumo. That you don't want at all. That you're not totally interested in. At least stage two and three you're somewhat interested in. Rabbi Shimon omer mochel eino kamashke. Rabbi Shimon says mochel is not like a mashke. Meaning the opposite. Even stage one and two. Umata amar mochel is a meiko b'savat tamei. So why by stage three does he say that is tamei? Fishi ef shalom. Because the oil is already coming out in it. So it's not pure mochel, it is has shemen drops in it. So my ben asked, so what's the machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Reb Yaakov? I already explained it, but he could be nayu, dasi baser itzatzta. The difference is what the mochel that comes out after their itzatzta is pressure when they're pushed against each other. That means stage two. Rava Oma, period. Stage two. And that's the machlokas between them. So that's a machlokas in Hilchas Mikvos. Why is this brought here? Because of the next line. Rava Amar, Rava says, don't get me into the whole machlokas. You don't need the whole machlokas to know whether mochel is a mashke or not in order to understand why mochel will pass a mikvah. No! Same as we said before. Rava Amar Mishim Tahavi Dover She'in Osu Yenenu Mikvah. No! Mochel is something that you don't use to create a mikvah. So therefore, Upolsa Osu Mikvah B'Shini Mare. So therefore, it is going to pass a mikvah B'Shini Mare. Whether it is a mashke or it's not a mashke, you don't have to get on to that whole discussion. Period. Okay. Back to Hilchos Shabbos a little bit. Review the Mishmuel. Back to Halacha Lamaisa. Sochid al demeshkol shel anavim l'tocha k'deira v'lo l'tocha k'ara. We've mentioned Hilchos Shechita before. You're not allowed to squeeze out. This is a tremendous, very important heter in Hilchos Shechita. You're allowed to be sochid. You're allowed to squeeze even grapes, the Gemara says. Even grapes into a k'deira and not a k'ara. What does that mean? K'deira is generally understood as food. Solid food. You could squeeze something onto solid food, but not l'tochakar, but not into a bowl, which is empty, or as we'll see later on, even liquid. You're allowed to squeeze onto solids, but not onto liquids. Why? Let's continue. Amar of Chizim Midiv Rabino Nilman. So we learn. Cholib Adam Eiz L'tocha Kedera. You're allowed to squeeze a goat into a Kedera. In other words, where there's food or stuff on the bottom. Avalo Tochakara, not into a bowl. Why? Alma Kasavar Mashke Habala Ochel Ka Ochel Dami. Mashke that comes in contact with Ochel is Ka Ochel. In other words, what is the Isser of Dash? The Isser of Dash is taking a solid and taking out, extracting the liquid from it. So when you milk a cow, when you end up with milk, so you've taken a solid, the udder, and now you've made a liquid. But if you have a liquid that goes directly onto a solid, if you have a lemon that goes directly onto salad, so then it never achieves the stat, or onto fish, it never achieves the status of mashke. It was a solid, it was ochel up, not a solid, ochel. It was ochel up here, it's ochel down there. It never achieves its own status. If it falls into an empty cup, or if it falls into liquid, then it gains the status of liquid. It joins more liquid. So that's why it's going to be usher. But if it's still foo, if it's ochel to ochel, then it would be mutter. Yeah.
By grapes and olives, is it both upon them, you would agree that if it comes out on its own?
If it comes out on its own, it's going to be usher.
If
it comes out on its own, because it's the status of mashke. But here we're saying you could even squeeze directly because you're going on to solids. Yeah.
Right.
Isn't it extracting anyway? The answer is no, that the malacha of dash is not just getting it out. The malacha of dash is the creation of a liquid from a solid. The creation of a mashke. So something has to have the status of mashke liquid. If it goes straight from the state of being in the fruit to a solid, it never has the status of mashke. If you first squeeze the lemon into a cup and then pour it onto a salad, no good. No good, we paskin. Because no, you have to do it directly onto the fish, directly onto the salad. What if the Mishnah Berurah discusses, interesting, the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to squeeze lemons, because in his day they were never squeezed. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that we squeeze lemons all the time. So, but what happens if you want to put lemon in your tea? So, what some people do is they squeeze the lemon onto the sugar cube. and then they put the sugar cube into the tea. Is that okay? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim, says that's mutter, because it's going onto a solid, and then you're putting that solid into a liquid. But it's fine. The Chazon Ish is not into that. The Chazon Ish in Simin Nun Vav says, come on, you're about to put it into liquid, so sew it for a few seconds. But Mishnah Berurah is Mekel. Mishnah Berurah is Mekel. Just like we're Machmer in the other case, if you're going to pour it directly onto the solid in the first, you can't pour it into the cup and then onto the solid. So too the other case, you go by, right, Basher Husham. Basher Husham, and therefore, if it's directly onto the solid, you're directly onto the sugar cube, so then we are Mekel. Yeah. One second, yeah? Why isn't it nolad? Because we assume that the milk maybe is like mifkat pocket. We assume it's there from beforehand. We assume that the malacha, let me just mention that also. What is the malacha of milking a cow? So according to this whole discussion here, it sounds like mafarik, which is dash. The re, if you remember back, the daf ayin gimel on the beis, there's a shita of Rabbeinu Tam that says the malacha of milking a cow is mamachik. You are smoothing out the udder as you rub it. So the re says the kasha from our Gemara. Well, because what does our Gemara say? That you're allowed to do it onto a salad. So what difference does it make according to Rabbeinu Tam regarding the malacha of memachik? It shouldn't make a difference what you're squeezing it into. According to Rashi, that mafarik, and according to the Rambam, mafarik is hold of dasha makes sense. Dasha is the creation of a mashke, so if it ever has a chance to be a mashke, so then it's fine, it's mutter. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it shouldn't make a difference. That's what he brings our Gemara as the strong raya against Rabbeinu Tam. Actually, it's a big kasha. I don't know how Rabbeinu Tam would answer that. If it's memachik, what difference does it make whether what you're doing it into? Okay, so that is the issue of schita, and that's a very halacha l'maisa point, that if squeezing something onto a solid is mutter, onto a liquid it is asa. There is a shita of tosas here, actually maybe it's l'shitaso. Nirol Rabbeinu Tam, that this is only on Yontif, to figure out how it gets together. We paskid, most Rishonim assume that this is Shabbos, not Yontif. We assume that even on Shabbos, this is going to be mutter. Just one other har, and then we'll finish. The Shulchan Aruch points out, the Shmir Shabbos, which I thought I brought up, but I didn't, says that there are, though, two provisions that you have to have in order to use this heter. Number one, it has to, when you squeeze it out into the salad, it has to be lasakin ha'ochel. It has to be really because you're making the food better. That's when it could be bottled to the food. But if you're stopped doing it and then you're going to like wipe it off or something to use it, so then that doesn't work. It has to be lasakin ha'ochel, A. B, it has to be that... It's not that the little solid on the bottom is swimming around in this liquid. Like, let's say you want to milk your cow on Shabbos, so you put a little cookie in the pail, and, you know, you start squeezing up and getting a whole pail full of milk. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't work. Right? It has to be enough that's absorbed, and it absorbs the liquid. But the ikar is the ochel, the kdeira on the bottom. So as long as you have those two, it's mutter l'chadchila. Mutter l'chadchila. Okay, so then we'll stop here. We'll get into this, we'll get into the discussion tomorrow about more mashke. You know, I have a kina sofrim, but again, I'm not too much kina. Menachem tomorrow, ein bishel achar bishel. That's where the big sugi comes up, kuf mem heyem abeiz. It's a very, very important gemara and mishnah, and Menachem will guide you through it. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody. Have a good and Erev Shabbos. Okay, but you see, right, so that the Chazon Ish also discusses that, should you be mechali between that, but he assumes you can be mekel, even though it's a few seconds. If it's on its way down, so then you don't, you hold Holchanachar gravity. Oh, the sponsor was Refu Shleima, Tinok Ben Golda Tova. Tinok Ben Golda Tova.
Sugar is considered a salad?
At that point.